This is the Food Navigator podcast, your deep dive into the stories that are shaping the future of food. I'm Food Navigator section editor, Flora Southey, and today we'll be looking beyond the bin to rethink food waste.
If you look at globally, we waste just over 1.3 billion tons of food every year. And yet on the other side, you have 800 million people that go to bed hungry every night. Food waste should be a crime.
Food waste is a major concern. The United Nations estimates that 1.3 billion tons of food is lost or wasted each year, equating to roughly one-third of the food produced for human consumption. I should point out here that these figures have been contested by researchers from Wageningen University, who say consumers discard a lot more food than widely believed. From an environmental standpoint, the numbers from either scenario are unsettling. The agri-food sector is one of the largest emitters of greenhouse gases, and if food waste were a country, it would be the third highest greenhouse gas emitter behind China and the US. Food waste occurs along the entire value chain, but we'll be focusing on the links closest to the consumer, retail and households. What can we do to address this issue? What role does innovation play, or technology, including big data and machine learning, to combat food waste? And from a more humanist perspective, could collectively combating food waste help build community? Today on the line, we have Timo Bolt, CEO and founder of recipe box company Gusto. Timo, thank you for coming on the podcast. First off, I'd like to know, when did you first become interested in food waste?
Thanks so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. So I founded Gusto in 2012, and around that time, one of the biggest pain points I saw was that roughly 40% of all food in the UK is wasted. So not only having a huge, hugely negative impact on the environment, but also from a business perspective, it makes no sense at all. And then looking at myself personally, I back then worked really long hours in finance. So even when I had the courage to look up recipes, I often ended up wasting a lot of food. And that then led me to launch Gusto to tackle that issue. And I'm really proud that we today have close to 0% food waste as opposed to 40% as is normal in our industry. So that was the idea Gusto was born out of.
Thanks for that, Timo. I hope we can hear a little bit more about that later. Another guest on the show today is James Persad. James heads up marketing and engagement at not-for-profit Fairshare, which distributes surplus food to charities around the UK. Hi, James.
Hi, Flora.
When did you first become interested in food waste?
So, yeah, thanks for having me. I started at the UK government's delivery body for carbon emissions in 2009. And that organization evolved into one that looked more broadly at resource efficiency. And it was there that I came across the sort of startling statistics about if food waste was a country, it would be the third biggest emitter of CO2 emissions, and that 2.25 million tons of food is wasted in the UK, which is enough for over 5 billion meals. And that coinciding with 8 million people going hungry just struck me as this terrible paradox that the UK was in. And then I was fortunate enough to join Fairshare in early 2018, so 2 years ago.
Thanks for that, James. Let's move on to our third guest, Martin Roylieder. He is Director of Olio for Businesses. So for those unfamiliar with Olio, it's a mobile app for food sharing, which connects those with surplus food with those looking to consume it. Martin, when did food waste first spark your interest?
Yeah, good afternoon, Flora. Delighted to be on this podcast. It sounds to me, listening to James and Timo, that I'm kind of the new kid on the block when it comes to being directly involved in food waste. I come from a food manufacturing background, and I joined Olio 4 months ago. But to be honest, I've always had a deep caring about nature and the planet and so on. I've always lived and appreciated near nature. And 3 years ago, I became a vegan. And I think that really intensifies your focus on sustainability as a whole. Beginning of December last year is when I joined Olio and gives me the opportunity to combine my passion for sustainability with my passion for developing business.
Thank you, Martin. What's interesting about this panel is that you're all to a lesser or greater extent using technology in your fight against food waste. Timo, I might start with you because Gusto is essentially a food tech company. Could you describe the business in that way?
Yeah, so we've always seen Gusto as a data company that loves food. So to give you a couple of examples, we use technology and AI to reduce food waste by focusing on AI forecasting that then helps us predict order quantities and minimizing food waste, which is really, really powerful. But we also use technology to reduce packaging waste. So, for example, we have a solution called intelligent packaging, which simply means technology categorizes each ingredient, which then means we save space on delivery trucks and we reduce any unnecessary packaging. We've also pushed really, really hard to launch a new packaging innovation recently, our Eco Chill Box, and that's only made possible through the use of technology. So there are a number of applications of how we leverage technology to particularly reduce food waste and packaging waste here at Gusto.
I mean, from the outset, I can see that food waste is reduced in recipe box companies because you're providing the exact amount of a specific ingredient required. But does it go beyond that? I mean, you mentioned AI. Is it also related to how much you might have in stock at a certain time or predicting demand?
Yeah, completely. So if you think about the way traditional retailing works is you've got 10,000 stores across all of the UK, and you have to push a lot of food into those 10,000 stores. And naturally, a huge chunk of that food is wasted because not having availability is far more expensive than having food waste. So if you look at our model, we have one single factory today, and we only buy exactly what customers want. Our supply chain is much shorter, so we go straight to the farm. We only buy what we really need. And then we send customers exactly what they need. So both food waste is reduced in both the supply chain, but also for customers at household level.
Martin, I'm not sure whether Olio is also described as a food tech company, but it's certainly based on an app. Could you explain the concept to the listeners today?
Absolutely. And I think the app is exactly what enables us to promote this culture of share more and waste less. I mean, we all know how big a problem food waste is. Unfortunately, we don't talk enough about it. And OlioX started as exactly that, an app that basically enabled neighbor-to-neighbor sharing of surplus food. So you were going to go on a vacation, or you knew that you weren't going to get to your salad and cucumber in your refrigerator, or you're doing a spring cleanup. And instead of throwing all those great products that are still fit for consumption into the bin, you list them and share it on the app so that people in your neighborhood can request it and come and collect it from you. And we've really evolved now into really working with businesses to also rescue their surplus food that then gets shared on the app and shared in that way with local communities.
I see. So it is all founded on technology.
Absolutely.
James, I'd like to bring you into the conversation because Fair Share obviously distributes food to different charities. Does it use technology to help this process? I know that there's a collaboration between Fair Share and Olio, for example, that may use some tech.
That's correct, Flora. Yep. So Fair Share has two main services. One is a warehouse-based model where lorries come in from supermarket sort of distribution centres, which are actually sort of pre the food getting to the supermarket shelves, and volunteers unload those lorries, store the food appropriately in big chillers or fridges or ambiently on racking, and then volunteers fill up vans to fulfill charities' orders. So that's quite a sort of a manual process. However, there is some technology involved there in logging the food, recording the food, and making sure that it's all sort of weighed in and out. And then the charities use the system to pick their orders to. The other service is Fair Share Go, which, as Martin mentioned, is a back of supermarket store collection model. So it's an app that charities use to be communicated with by store managers at a hyper local sort of level. So where surplus food arises in the stores, a text message goes out to the local charity community with an allocated slot. And the in an ideal situation, the charity goes and collects that food at that particular time from that slot.
And just to add to that, what James was saying, I think the key here was really essential is to, you know, the collaboration between the different players addressing food waste. You know, we have a great partnership with FairShare. As James mentioned, those charities that can't get to certain retail outlets to do the collections, that's where Olio steps in through our Food Waste Hero volunteers to rescue that surplus food and then share it on the app. So in the end, we bring a full circular solution to that business.
Thanks for that, Martin. James, I'd like to know, where are you seeing most food wasted or lost across the supply chain?
Thank you. Thanks for asking, Flora. So the challenge that FairShare sees is very much in the supply chain for food. So we see statistics from RAP that show that only kind of 1-2% of the surplus food that goes to waste actually arises at the supermarkets themselves, even though they're the most visible to all of us as customers. There's an enormous supply chain of manufacturers, processors, packers, and then prior to that, the farms themselves where the food is being grown and made. And that's where 50% of the food that goes to waste that's good to eat does go to waste, and then the rest is in the household. So what we're trying to do is intercept the food pre it getting to the supermarkets, in order that all the resources that have gone into making that food, you know, the energy, the fertilizer, the water, and the food itself is used for the purpose for which it was intended, rather than it go to landfill or anaerobic digestion or animal feed.
It's great that you're bringing this up, because a lot of consumers would only see it in the home or indeed at the retail level.
That's right.
Something like Olio is dealing with food waste once it's at retail.
That's correct. Yeah, I think to extend on James's point, if you look at the average UK household, they are probably putting around £80 worth of food into the bin every month, which in totality in the UK, it's about £15 billion worth of food that's going into the bin. The sad part is that obviously most of that food is still edible. And that's where looking at things holistically and bringing circular solutions, not only can a company like Olio rescue what can't go to charities from businesses, but also make sure that within the households themselves, they are sharing what would otherwise go into the bin.
Absolutely. And then Gusto, on the other side of it, is providing the exact amount of food that you'd require on that specific evening, so that the food never arrives in the house if it will end up being surplus.
That's the absolute aim, yeah. And it's just, I feel enormously proud of the team for being able to shorten the supply chain so much. I totally agree with the points raised on this call. I think the supply chain is a big issue, but since we go straight to the farm, that's not so much the issue for us. And then, yeah, as a customer, of course, so you literally only get whatever you like and need. And we're now working really hard on innovations such as personalization, so that you should never see the menu I'm seeing, and also customization, so that you should be able to swap in and out ingredients. So if you have soy sauce at home, well, you shouldn't really get soy sauce from us. That makes no sense. But obviously, to build this functionality, it's a little bit more complex. So we're really proud of launching a lot of, in the area of customization, to make it even easier to avoid food waste using Gusto.
Thanks for that, Timo. Moving forward, I'd like to focus on the idea of community. This is perhaps not a word we usually associate with food waste, but surely a collective response to this problem is best. Martin, how does Olio's approach help the idea of community or indeed help build community?
Well, if you consider what we do, really, we go back to basics and how it was, you know, hundreds of years ago. You know, people never used to throw food that was edible into the bin or to waste. They used to share it naturally. And I think massive urbanization has moved us more and more towards this throwaway culture. And what Olio does is it really encourages that back to basics of sharing things with your neighbors. I mean, we're quite proud of the fact we've got about almost 2 million users of our of the Olio app, but we're quite proud of the fact that to date we've enabled over 1.4 million doorstep connections. And I saw an interesting statistic once that in the UK, about 23% of people in the UK feel socially isolated. That's pre-COVID-19. So you can imagine the statistics now. And the fact that we enable these doorstep connections, meaning that someone actually physically goes to someone else's house, again, pre-COVID-19, because we now do the no contact sharing, but the fact that they go to someone else's house, make a connection, exchange a few words, put a name to a face, that's really about building communities. We've had some great feedback from some app users that have said that the fact that they have to go out of their house to go and rescue food has really enabled them to deal with depression and social isolation. So it's something that we're really proud of as an additional benefit of our program.
Yes, and let's hope that the crisis passes soon and we can bring those connections back. James, FareShare must also be very involved in community life. Do you see it in your line of work?
Yeah, very, very much so, Flora. FareShare consists of 11,000 charities and community groups all around the UK who receive food from us, who then cook that food and prepare meals for vulnerable people. And a lot of that is done on a voluntary basis. And for me, that's the epitome of what community is. It's helping others more vulnerable than oneself. And I'm really proud and humbled to be working for an organization like FareShare that does it at the scale that we do. At the moment, we provide food to charities who support nearly 1 million people every week in the UK.
As Martin briefly mentioned, we are in the midst of a coronavirus crisis. So I was wondering, James, how is the community life that's put together by FareShare being affected currently?
Well, there's different aspects to the community that we are part of. From a food industry point of view, you know, the food industry has responded enormously to the challenge of providing enough food to support everybody in the country, including vulnerable people. So FareShare is now dealing with double the amount of food that we were dealing with just a month ago. And already in April, we've managed the amount of food that we managed in the whole of March. And that was our record month on history. So April is going to be sort of, you know, very, very high. The social distancing and shielding and self-isolating has meant that the charities that we serve are having to really evolve their models to much more of a food parcel type approach with a contactless delivery. So whereas before food was being served often communally in large kitchens or dining room, those charities are now evolving their models so that that can be done in a safe way that's in line with government guidelines. We've actually had a tripling of applications from charities to receive food from FareShare since the crisis hit.
So if I can focus our attention on another element of food waste, and that's of upcycling surplus food to reduce waste. James, I know FareShare would deal with surplus food that is then upcycled in some way for consumers through charities or food banks.
That's right, yeah. So what FareShare try and do is to take fresh ingredients that haven't been cooked yet and get those to our charity community across the UK in order that they can then take that food and prepare it into meals for their clients. On the FareShare Go side, the food is obviously packaged and ready for a retail sale. So that is far more in a kind of ready-to-eat format for charities when it arrives. And I know that the charities are very grateful when that sort of food arrives too. What I find staggering is that, you know, FareShare are going to be handling about 25,000 tons of food this year. And, you know, that represents something like 56 million meals. So the potential to upcycle, as you put it, this food is enormous. Despite those numbers, there's an enormous amount still to shoot for. And, you know, FareShare is still only dealing with sort of 7 to 8% of the surplus food that's available. There's still over 90% to aim for.
I see. Upcycling food is something that we're seeing across the food industry. Have you seen any inspiring projects across the sector of upcycling food to reduce waste?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just have, if you follow Fair Share's Twitter feed, there's an enormous amount of incredible cooks and chefs that work in the kitchens of the charities that we serve. And it's quite amazing how many things you can do with a butternut squash and a courgette or a pile of, you know, tomatoes and carrots. They find incredibly inventive ways to create tasty meals in ways that, you know, you'd never even think about. They are, you know, really performing an amazing job to take the surplus food as it arises. And, you know, it's a big supply and demand problem. Surplus food can arise at the last minute for all sorts of reasons. So we often find that we're awash with a seasonal glut of a particular type of fruit or vegetable. And the charities, to their credit, take the vast majority of that and do wonderful things with that food.
So let's chat about the business case for food waste and how businesses can cut waste while increasing profits. Martin, how does Olio monetize its concept and how do you expect this to build or grow moving forward?
Well, let me premise by saying that you know, when you consider that food waste, if it were a country, it would be third behind China and the US in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. If we don't tackle food waste head on, then we're not going to be able to save this planet. And not saving this planet has a much higher cost than the cost of managing and redistributing food waste. And I premise that because as a business, you know, Olio, our mission is 100% about food waste, but we do need to cover our costs and also that to invest and grow our business. So we do charge businesses a nominal collection fee for the food that we rescue. Because in the end, this is not only about rescuing food, but it's also about sharing it with communities, as we discussed earlier. And that's also a big benefit for the customers that we work with. And the other side of it is for the businesses, we provide them with social and environmental impact reports of the impact of the food that we have rescued from their businesses. So we do bring a value to the businesses. We do charge a collection fee because we need to monetize. And we've started just over a year ago, actually moving from our pure neighbor-to-neighbor sharing application to supporting and partnering with businesses like major retailers, food service operators, and caterers. And we've already brought on some good businesses, good customers on board to help them reduce their food waste.
So businesses can potentially now show their investors how they're reducing greenhouse emissions or working to their CSR strategies.
Absolutely. I think what you're starting to see, and companies like Tesco, for example, on the retail side are at the forefront. More and more companies are no longer just talking the talk of sustainability, but actually walking the talk. You know, companies have a mission to become zero food waste. And we, together with the other players in the food waste hierarchy, can play an essential role in make sure that they deliver to their sustainability goals around zero food waste.
And Timo, at Gusto, how does reducing food waste help your bottom line?
So Gusto was born out of the belief that food waste makes no sense and we should find a model that avoids food waste. And why it's that fantastic for the environment, it's also great for customers and it's actually really good for margin. So having food waste close to zero has always given us a big margin advantage. When you look at food retailing, it's often very low margin and high volume. So it's quite beneficial to focus on food waste. Also from a business perspective. And last year, we as a company managed to reduce plastic waste by 50% in one single year alone by having the very best people work on it for, you know, an entire year. And again, what that means is it's fantastic for the environment, but it's also fantastic for margin. So when you look at our recent news flow, we've just announced raising another £33 million. And to me, to a large extent, this shows the confidence in a business like ours, which was built out of the vision to reduce food waste in the first place. So I feel it's fairly good that it's a false dichotomy. It's not the environment or good business sense. It's really one and the same. And if you look at the biggest trends we're seeing in the next, 5 to 10 years in the UK, but also across Europe, sure, it's online and convenience and also health. But then the biggest one amongst those four trends is sustainability. And luckily and fortunately, we're seeing more and more companies committing at scale to reducing food waste, which is really fantastic news for everyone.
Some aspiring startups may see that recent investment and be wondering whether they should be jumping in the anti-food waste space. Do you think there's room for more players?
Well, as long as we waste food in the system, I think there's room for people to help solve the problem until the problem is solved. So I would say definitely we need to find better ways to retail. For the last 50 years, we have built a supply chain that for the next 50 years is no longer fit for purpose. No one wants to go to 10,000 supermarkets with high food waste. Food is traveling to customers in the future. My son, who's now 2 years old, has been to a supermarket twice in his entire life. I think it's extremely unlikely that in 10, 20, 30 years, when he's got a family, that he will go to supermarkets shopping for food the way we shop for food today, wasting so much food. So I think there's enormous space for entrepreneurs to build companies. It's a 200 billion grocery market in the UK alone, and online penetration is currently at 7%. And food waste is absolutely gigantic. So the more people can help solve this problem, the better. If you are thinking of starting your business, please look at food waste. It's an amazing opportunity for a business.
I couldn't agree more on that. If I can add, I mean, if you look at globally, we waste just over 1.3 billion tons of food every year. A third of all food is basically going to waste, and most of it is fit for consumption. And yet on the other side, you have 800 million people that go to bed hungry every night. Food waste should be a crime, and we need to tackle it head on. We talk a lot about single-use plastics. We talk a lot about fossil fuels, etc. And so should we, because those are very important topics that need to be solved and addressed. But we simply don't talk enough, in my opinion, about food waste. So the more players that come into this arena where we can also collaborate and bring holistic circular solutions, the better we will tackle this problem.
I agree with Martin. More needs to be done to combat food waste. A more circular and multi-sectoral approach has the potential to really make a difference here. And as technologies advance, innovations develop, and of course, awareness builds around the issue, we are adding to the weapons we can use in this fight. Coming back to that original statistic, that one third of food produced is wasted, it's clear that consumers, industry, and regulators need to address food waste as a priority. You've been listening to the Food Navigator podcast, and I'm Flora Southey. Join us next time when we'll be discussing sugar reduction.